Hello, everyone. Welcome to Vanishing Carolland Stories, the podcast. I'm your host, Pete Costanis. This is episode 121, season 5. Today's date is April 16th, 2022, and thank you for joining me today. I have an interesting show coming up. Today, I will discuss a children's television show that a lot of people have forgotten. It was a long time ago, very long, long time ago, and it was the Elephant Show that hosted by John Conrad. And I will explain about that show, its history, and the star and the host. And the second topic I would discuss is typewriters. And you don't hear that word today, and it was a big deal back in the old days, and I used one frequently through high school and college and even after that. So that should be very interesting. And I'll talk about my memories of doing my typing. Right now, the program will go into a commercial break, and this program is brought to you by O. Henry Candy Bar. And here is a commercial from 1987, featured the late Gilbert Gottfried, and I will discuss about him, and that he passed away this past few days. So here is the commercial. Here we go.
What makes the O. Henry Bar so intense?
I'm here to tell you that the O. Henry Bar has a touch of fudge. A touch of fudge. So a touch of fudge, you mean there are actually fingerprints in the fudge? People are touching it? No, it's a touch of fudge. They were not touching the fudge. If they touched it, they might have had gloves on. It was very clean operation.
O. Henry, the only candy bar with milk, chocolate, peanuts, caramel, and a touch of fudge.
So they were touching that? No. O. Henry, this stuff is intense.
Okay, everyone, I am back. I hope you enjoyed the commercial for O. Henry Candy Bar that featured Gilbert Gottfried. I was so sad when his family announced his death on Twitter. I saw that on Twitter. And he was 67 years old, very funny guy. When I first knew him, I thought he was very annoying. He had that voice, you know. I thought, who is this clown? Who is this guy? He's yelling all over the place. But as the years went on, he kind of grew on me, and he was very funny and very likable. According to his to some people, that behind the scenes, you know, when he's not performing, he was very quiet and very shy. He didn't want to talk to people. No, not at all. And I remember from a few movies. And I remember him from Beverly Hills Cop 2, you know, and he stole a movie from that. Also, also did some voices. He was famous for the parrot in Aladdin, Iago. I love that movie, and he was hilarious. Oh, when you see Iago, you see him. It's hilarious like that. And yeah, he did some commercials. He also did a lot of promos on MTV back in the 80s. And so, you know, he was a very busy guy. He had his own podcast, and he did stand-up. Interesting enough, he did 1 year of Saturday Night Live in 1980, where not for the primetime players, the original cast, like John Belushi, Dan Aykroyd, Jane Curtin, Laurie Newman, et cetera, et cetera. And he joined with some other people. Some were well-known, some were not. And then what I read somewhere, he did not have a good time. And a lot of people complained, who is this guy? And, you know, I would love to see clips of that. Be very interesting, you know. And but he moved on and did some, you know, TV guest spots, movies, and still did stand-up. And one particular act I remember, he was on the Tonight Show. This is with Jay Leno when he hosted, and they did a Jeopardy. And he dressed up as Britney Spears. He wore this dress and this long blonde wig, and he's not talking like Britney. He's talking like Gilbert, and it was the funniest thing I ever saw. It was the ugliest Britney Spears I have seen. And he was talented. He was so lovable. You know, it's a shame. It really is. Anyway, so my condolences to his family. All right. At the beginning of the program, I said that I will talk about the Elephant Show that hosted John Conrad and my memories of using a typewriter. I'll talk about that first, the typewriter. So you don't see that today. No, I don't think so. I have not seen anyone have any possession of it or in a store. I doubt it, you know, but they were around since the 19th century, and offices started using them about late 1880s, like that. And so then it exploded. And first were portable ones. Look kind of clunky, and they make noise, you know, ding, 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 you know, with the bell, like that. That's kind of fun. And electric ones came maybe late 50s, early 60s, and they were good. And then they make a little softer sound, still made noise, but unless you type it real fast, and they had the bell. Also, they included with ribbons, and a lot of people complained they hate changing it because you get all the ink on your fingers, and it was a mess. And then I believe that ribbon cartridges were introduced later. So you just, when you had a typewriter that had that you insert, you're all set to go. You know, ribbon changing, all that, which is great, you know. And I just posted a photo yesterday that I found on eBay. It was a typewriter from Sears, and it was an old-fashioned typewriter, the ones with the ribbon. You know, it was blue, and it looked gorgeous, looked beautiful. And there were brand names, I remember, like Smith Corona, and Smith Corona Machines, SCM, and also Brother typewriters, and I don't know what else. I don't know what other companies, you know. And secretaries back in the days, so now they're called administrative assistants, used typewriters, you know, for their job, and they had to go to school to learn to type, take shorthand, you know, like take dictation. For me, the first time I learned how to type was high school. I went to Bogan High School, and it was sophomore year, and, you know, I seemed interested in taking a typing course, you know, but, you know, I didn't tell people because that's a lot of guys, you know, say, nah, that's woman's work, and, you know, you're being a sissy, which is stupid, you know, but, so I enrolled in the typing one, typing two. And the majority of the class was girls. There were girls in there, but there were a few guys in there, not many. And, you know, that was fun. That's a fun class. That was a fun class. You know, I remember the teacher, Miss Burns, I think that's her name. Very nice lady. Very patient, you know. And I remember she told us how to insert the paper, you know, in the roller, I forgot what that's called. And, you know, you set the margins and that, and make sure your ribbon is all set and clean. And then you sit in position, you know, with your hands on the keyboard. The main thing, I remember just now that you can't look at your keys, look at the paper and just feel the keyboard. That was tough. That was tough because you have to memorize it. I can't still do that. Sometimes I have to look down. But as years went on, it got better. And also a rule was when you are finished, do not pull the paper out of the typewriter. No. Just use the rollers on the back. Go like that. Don't do that. So there was a girl next to me. She lived in my neighborhood. My old neighborhood, and she was in the same class as I was, and she did that, you know, and when we were practice typing, we had like a book, you know, and then you type like that. Oh, that was fun. And believe it or not, she did, when she was through, she did pull the paper out, and then she was so embarrassed. But luckily, the teacher did not hear her. I saw the whole thing, and I died laughing. I go, didn't you remember? Don't you remember what the teacher said? Don't do that. She goes, I forgot, she said. Oh, that was fun. So, yeah, so I got better. You learn the spacing and, you know, you indent, you know, with paragraphs and all that. You know, liquid paper, that's a thing. You know, when you make a mistake, you apply it on your paper. That we didn't have that. That came later. And that was invented by Mike Nesmith's mother of the Monkees. She invented liquid paper. She was a secretary. And she made a lot of money. A lot of money with that. Ooh. Yeah, very wealthy. Anyway, so I did very well in typing. And then I took a second course, typing too. I'm glad I did that. I don't know if I had the same teacher. I probably did, maybe. And I got a little more advanced, and I got better. So I think I do maybe about 40 to 45 words per minute, you know. And, you know, and I continued learning to type as I went along. And then I took data processing at Bogan High School. That's where I got introduced to computers. And that was with the key punch, you know, with the machine. And I got hooked So I continue be involved with technology. I love technology, you know, but it changes all the time, and you got to keep up, and you got to go to school for the rest of your life, and it's annoying. You know, I'm not crazy about that. Anyway, so I took data processing, two classes in Bogan, then went to De La College, took some more. I didn't do very well in school, so I decided to leave, and then so it just hit me, why don't I just enroll in DeVry Institute of Technology in Chicago? And I asked my mom and dad, can I go there? And they said, sure, you could do it if you liked what you did. And I did, and I enrolled in 1983, March, and the computer program. I found it fascinating, but, you know, it was getting harder as time went on, and I didn't do very well. So, but it involved typing and a lot of, you know, this figuring out the programs and all that. I still remember the courses I took. And I barely made it, you know, graduating, but I graduated so in 1986. And then I went off looking for work, and then got into data entry. It got easier. So, and it was fine. You know, I worked a few jobs. I worked one place in 5 years. And then I got into travel. Geography. So I did, went to school in 1994. Then I got a job and I worked at American Express Travel. I got hired as a ticketer, like a quality control. And I did a lot of typing. I was a good typist, you know, very fast. And, it was a lot of fun. And I still miss this job to this day. I left about 15 years ago, and, times have changed. You know, but I still type on my computer, you know, and right now typewriters went away, and then word processors came, and I saw a lot of ads in the one, you know, in the job, you know, in the classifieds, you know, in the for jobs. And I saw a lot of word processing openings, a lot of them, you know, and that's now you don't really see that, you know, because now we have Microsoft Word. And that's changed. So the typewriter, I miss the sounds of typing and with the bell and all that. It was fun. You know, if kids today, they're like, what's that? They say it's for old people. It's not very nice. So, but it's good. And I read somewhere that actor Tom Hanks is a collector of typewriters. I don't know if he has a place that, you know, he hauls them and puts them in there. I guess he loves that. And it's amazing. So believe it or not, some people still use them, which I've heard. You know, they like that. And but you make a mistake, and then you, you know, pull the paper out and you crumple it and throw in the garbage and start all over again, you know. But it's fun to watch old TV shows, and they show typewriters or old movies, like in, it was set in a newspaper office or a regular office, you know. That, okay. So that'll be all for typewriters. Now I will talk about the Elmer the Elephant Show that was hosted by John Conrad. I'll give you a little history of that show and the host. So I'll start with the host. And, you know, I never heard of him. Yeah, I never did. And I've seen a couple clips on YouTube. I watched a couple of shows. It seems corny, but it seems like a lot of fun. And he hosted the show from 1953 to 1956. I got to double check. You know, some people say 51, 52. I don't think so. You know, so. And it was on Channel 5, a WNBQ, which is WMAQ right now. Yeah. It started in 1953, and it aired 5 o'clock in the afternoon, right after Howdy Doody. And John Conrad worked at the television station. He did radio too, and he was born in Blue Island, Illinois. And he always wanted to be in show business. And he started out as a page boy at a radio station at the Merchandise Mart. And then he became a radio announcer in Chicago. And then he auditioned for the Elmer Elephant Show, and it was sponsored by Oscar Mayer, famous for their hot dogs. And the show consisted of an elephant. His name was Elmer. And he was a big, you know, a puppet. He never spoke, but he was a very mischievous animal. He caused a lot of trouble. He was like Bugs Bunny, like that. And he did kind of hijinks, and he was very quiet. And then he would ring a bell or roll his eyes after pulling a prank to Mr. Conrad. And during the shows, he would teach the children lessons, you know, and, you know, be a great influence. So that was good. And all kinds of pranks that the Elmer did was like squirting him with water or putting a pie in his face. And at the end of the show, there was always a positive message explained to the kids. And during the show, that's not the only thing they did during the show. I mean, they did sketches, but they showed the Our Gang shorts, the Little Rascals, you know, with Spanky Alfalfa. You know, they did that. And they show cartoons. You know, it reminds me of Bozo the Circus. They did that, and also Garfield Goofs. That you know, they showcase cartoons, and so he did that for, you know, until 1956. And then he was taken off the air. And then, believe it or not, they brought the show back in 1962. And it ran for about a couple of years, but it was in color. The previous show was aired in black and white. Most of them were at the time. And it didn't really catch on. You know, things have changed. And so they decided no. And during the 60s, John Conrad hosted two game shows, Take a Dare and Tug of War. I don't remember those at all. So, and I should have done more research on that. And then he left Chicago and moved to California. And he became very successful. He became a businessman, and he opened a dollar rent-a-car franchise in California. He also published a book called Come Back for Me. I got to look that up. That would be interesting. And he seemed like a very nice man. Very nice. And he related to kids very well. And that's great, you know, doing that. Then he passed away. 2006, I believe. Yeah, he did that. Let's see what else. And so a lot of people do remember Elmer the Elephant. You know, I posted a couple things on Facebook, and they do remember the show. They do remember when they were young. Now, the people that used to watch them, they're in like in their 70s, 60s and 70s, you know, like that. And obviously, he was a disc jockey also on WMEQ. And it was called the John Conrad and Max. And Max was a imaginary turntable operator, you know, with records. Remember those? And he would do the same thing as Elmer did, you know, cause a lot of grief, playing tricks on him, you know, as John Conrad got very frustrated. And what he wore on the show, and Elmer the Elephant, it was like a circus outfit, you know, because elephants are always, you know, prominent in the circus. And, you know, when I saw the costume he wore, it reminds me of Frasier Thomas when he did Garfield Goose. It kind of resembles that, you know, it kind of resembled him, but it wasn't him. And like I said before, he died February 7th, 2006. So, you know, I've seen a couple of the clips on YouTube. You can watch them. They were in color. They last about maybe 5 minutes, and they were fun. It's a lot of fun, and it's a shame. It's another Chicago's children TV show that's gone into history. You know, but it's, like I said before, it's largely forgotten. So it's a shame. But I put a video together about a few years ago, and I showcase all the TV children's shows in Chicago, like way back in the beginning, like 1948, 49, all the way to maybe in the 60s, yeah, in the 70s. So I showed Elmer the Elephant, also Super Circus, Garfield Goose, Ray Rayner, Buzzel Circus, and other ones that came and went, you know, and so it was fun putting it together. And you can find it on my YouTube channel under my name, Pete Costanis, if you find it. It's I put a lot of time and effort, and it's a lot of fun. Okay, so that'll be all for today. I discuss about my memories of using a typewriter, and I talked about John Conrad of the host of the Elmer Elephant Show that aired on WMAQ Channel 5, which was WNBQ at the time. And I find it very fascinating, you know, talking about that. So I had a lot of fun. I will not do a podcast episode tomorrow. Tomorrow is Easter, and it's not my Easter. My Easter is next Sunday. I celebrate Palm Sunday tomorrow. So, yeah, because I'm Greek Orthodox and we go by that calendar. I always hated it as a kid, but now it's fine. And so, like I said before, I won't do a podcast tomorrow, maybe Tuesday, maybe the following weekend. And we'll see what, find out what I should do. What should I talk about? Health-wise, I'm still the same. I'm a little shaky and, you know, I will go see the doctor in about a week, and hopefully I'll feel better. Okay, so this is Pete Costanis, host of Vanished Chicagoland Stories, the podcast. This is episode 121, and thank you for joining me. I hope everyone have a wonderful holiday. Happy Easter, and to my Greek friends and family, Kalo Pascha, and I'll see you next time. And right now, here's a little traveling music from Ray Rayner saying bye-bye. So long, everybody.
We have to go. Bye-bye-bye.